Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or guest speakers open the Bible and help us explore what it means to follow Jesus in everyday life. Whether you're listening from here in Airdrie or somewhere else around the world, our hope is that these messages encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus. Thanks for being part of the Hillside family. As family, we go.
We're continuing our series, Stuff You've Googled. Stuff You've Googled. And the reason why we've called it that and the reason and what we're doing is we're taking some time to look at some familiar phrases, some things that we as followers of Jesus might say to someone or we might have had someone say to us in a moment where life needed an answer, where we needed to say something to someone because they were going through something, they were carrying something, they were trying to understand something, and somebody said something to us or we said to someone else, something that sounds spiritual. It sounds encouraging. It even might sound biblical. And so we reach for it and we offer it. And many of them they're close to something that's true. They're close to what the Bible says, but when we look deeper, what we discover is that they're a little too simplistic. They're not quite full. They're not quite able to fully express what the Bible really wants us to understand. They're not always enough to carry the weight of real life. But the goal of this series is not to mock things Christians say. It's not to get up and say, if you've ever said this, oh, you were so foolish. It's not to stand up and say, oh, if you were ever told this and you were encouraged by it, don't be. But we're not up here to mock each other. We're not up here to rob each other of hope or comforts. But it's the goal is to let Scripture give us something deeper, stronger, and more faithful. And so last week, we began this series by looking at the phrase, when God closes a door, he opens a window. And we talked about what it looks like to follow God when the things that we believe that are taking place in our lives don't happen. What happens when something closes, when we believe this is where God is calling us, and then we reach the end of the pathway and there's no more path? What happens when things don't work out, when we're trying to discern what God is doing around us and we don't have an answer? And we talked about how there are times in our lives where God does close a door, and we look around, and there's no window. And we talked about how do we navigate those times. And this week, on some of our level, we're still talking about guidance, but we're talking about it from a different angle. Because sometimes the question that we ask ourselves is, well, what is God doing around me? But sometimes we have to turn the focus and look inside and ask ourselves the question, what's going on inside me? What do I do with the desires that I have in my life? What do I do with these feelings? What do I do with this longing? What do I do when something inside me is pulling me in a certain direction? When inside I've got these feelings that I really want this, or I really feel like this, or what do I do with these feelings? And this is where one of the most common phrases that our culture will use shows up. And we'll tell each other, well, follow your heart. Follow your heart. And you hear this everywhere. In movies, you hear it in songs, as we talked about. We had lots of people graduating, and part of a graduation speech is often, and so follow your heart. Follow your heart. You hear it in advice from friends. You see it in social media captions, And most of the time when someone will tell you to follow your heart, they're actually trying to tell you something encouraging. They're trying to tell you that there's these things that are going on inside of you. And they make you feel a certain way. And they make you think a certain way. And you've got these desires and these longings. And you have these warnings inside of you. And sometimes you want something and you don't really know why you want it. Or sometimes you feel anxious or uncertain about something. And you don't really know why either. But you've got these things happening inside of you. And so you should listen to those things that are going on inside. Be honest about how you're really feeling. Don't ignore what matters deeply to you. Don't bury your desires so deeply that you lose touch with what's happening inside of you. Because what's happening inside of you does matter. Your emotions matter. Your grief matters. Your joy matters. Your sense that something is not right matters. Your deep desire for something good matters. So the question can't be as simple as, well, do we follow our hearts or do we ignore our hearts? Do we say, I will follow my heart wherever it leads, or do we say, I will never follow my heart under any circumstances? The question can't be as simple as that. Because Scripture doesn't treat our hearts like they're irrelevant. The Bible does not say, your heart does not matter. Your desires do not matter. Your emotions do not matter. Just ignore all of it and do the right thing. That's not what we read in Scripture. That's not the picture that Scripture gives us. In fact, Scripture will tell us to take our hearts extraordinarily seriously. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it will say this. It will say, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. This is a big verse with big language. Above all else, the most important thing you can do is to guard your hearts. Why? Because everything. That's big language. It's not because some things, not even because, well, the most important things, not the good things, not the bad things. Everything we do comes from it. In other words, the heart is not some small, private, unimportant part of who we are. Our hearts are central. What we love flows from the heart. What we trust flows from the heart. What we worship flows from the heart. What we desire flows from the heart. Our motives, our priorities, our choices, our words, our reactions. So much of our lives flows from the heart. So, in a certain sense, follow your heart is absolutely reaching for something that's true. It's trying to say, pay attention to what's happening inside of you. Pay attention to what you're feeling inside. Pay attention to where yourself is leading yourself. And that's not a bad thing. Because sometimes we do need to pay attention. Sometimes what is happening inside of us is telling us something important. That maybe the continual frustration that you're feeling is revealing a place for you where you need to have an honest conversation. Maybe the grief that you keep having to push down is actually showing you something that you haven't brought to God yet that you need to. Maybe the anxiety that you carry around in the pit of your stomach is actually showing you where you're trying to control something that was never yours to control in the first place. Maybe it's trying to show you something you can't control. Maybe the longing that you feel is pointing you towards something that God created for you to desire. Maybe the lack of peace inside you is something to pay attention to. But at the same time, not everything happening inside us is automatically right. It can be, but not every feeling is necessarily wise. Not every desire is a calling. Not every longing is leading us towards life. Not everything that feels true is forming us in the way of Jesus. But our feelings are often telling us something. They may not always tell us the whole truth, but often they tell us something worth paying attention to. So yes, your heart matters. What you feel matters. What you desire matters. What you are longing for matters. The biblical answer to follow your heart is not simply ignore your heart. If we go back to what Proverbs says, it does not say, above all else, follow your heart. But it also doesn't tell us, above all else, don't listen to your heart. Above all else, ignore your heart. Above all else, ignore what's going on inside of you. It will say, above all else, guard your heart. Protect your heart. Protect what's going on inside you. And if Proverbs will give us this big statement and show us the importance of our hearts and tell us that above everything else, guard your hearts, then that means that our hearts need more than just attention. They need discernment. Because the phrase follow your heart assumes that the things that are happening inside me, the things happening deepest inside me, must be the truest things about me. That if I feel strongly enough about something, it must be true. If I want it deeply enough, it must be right. If it feels authentic, it must be good. But if we live from a place where we say, I need to ignore my heart, then it doesn't matter how strongly I feel about it. It can't be true. If I want it deeply enough, it doesn't matter because it cannot be right. If it feels authentic, it doesn't matter. It can only be wrong. Follow your heart assumes that it's true. Ignore your heart assumes that it's false. But Scripture gives us a different picture than that. It gives us a more honest picture than that. Because the heart matters deeply. But it's also very complicated. Sometimes what we want is good. Sometimes the desires inside of us are right. Sometimes our heart is leading us in the right direction. Sometimes the desire inside us is really pointing us towards something God-giving and life-giving. Before I married Yvonne, my wife, I wanted to marry her. My heart said, you should do this. And so I didn't think to myself, well, if my heart is saying it, it must be wrong. Let's not do this. But I also wasn't like, well, I don't want to do this, but it seems like what I'm supposed to do, so I guess I will. Sometimes the desires inside us are pointing us towards something God-given. But sometimes what we want is shaped by fear. Sometimes it's shaped by wounds. Sometimes it's shaped by insecurity. Sometimes it's shaped by pride. Sometimes it's shaped by loneliness. Sometimes it's shaped by exhaustion. Jeremiah chapter 17 will speak some really strong words to this wrestling with our hearts. It will say this: the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's strong. The heart is deceitful above all things. Maybe that's why Proverbs tells us, above all, guard your heart, because your heart is deceitful above all things. That's a strong verse. That's a heavy verse. That's a weighty verse. But it's not saying that every feeling you have is evil. It's not saying that nothing inside you can ever be trusted. It's not saying that your emotions are always bad. Because if your heart was always bad, Scripture wouldn't say guard it. It would say reject it. But it tells us to guard it because it can be right and it can be wrong. It's telling us that our hearts are not easy to read. Our hearts can deceive us. We can want something and not fully understand why we want it. We can feel something strongly and still be wrong. We can convince ourselves that something is wise because it's what we want. A little while ago, we were at Costco. And when we walked into Costco, they had 100-inch TVs right by the front door. And they were on sale. And they were like really on sale, not like $50 off. Like it was a significant discount. And my friends, my heart was convincing me of what was right. And I even was able to make it spiritual. See, we have our small group on Friday nights. And when we have small group, we will usually play the scripture that we're reading through. We'll watch it on the TV through YouTube. And imagine how much of a better experience. Small Charles, Delia, you come to our small group. Brianna, it would be a really great experience if there was a 100-inch TV on the wall. We could even tell people if you have poor eyesight. We've accommodated you. Our small group would become more accessible to more. The Lord is leading. God was, my heart was speaking to me. But so was my wife. And thank God for my wife, I guess. What I can tell you is we do not have a 100-inch TV. But we can convince ourselves that something is wise because we want it. We can call something peace when it's really avoidance. We can call something conviction when it's really fear. We can call something love when it's really need. We can call something honesty when it's really anger looking for permission to speak. And I think most of us would know this to be true if we're honest, that there's probably been moments in your life where your heart told you something with an extreme amount of confidence, and later you realized maybe that wasn't the whole truth. That your heart said, say it. They need to hear this. Be bold. Say what you think they need to say. They need to hear this. But later you realized it wasn't courage and it wasn't love. It was just the overflow of frustration. Maybe the opposite. Your heart said, walk away. You don't need to deal with this right now. You don't need to have this conversation right now. But later on you realized that wasn't wisdom. That was just fear. Fear of having a hard conversation. Maybe your heart said to you when you looked at the 100-inch TV, you deserve this. But later you realized that that wasn't freedom. That was just selfishness. Maybe your heart said, if I just had this thing, if I just had that, then everything would be okay. But later you realized that your heart was asking something to carry a weight that only God can carry. This is why follow your heart is too simple. Because our hearts don't always tell us the difference between what is wise and what we want. Our hearts don't always tell us the difference between what feels good now and what will lead to life later. Our hearts don't always tell us the difference between what is honest and what is holy. See, I can want something, and I can be honest about something, and I can be clear, and I can be honest with myself and with others. I can be honest, but that doesn't mean that honesty is what will lead me, that honesty will be what leads me to God. When Jesus talks about the heart in Matthew chapter 6, he will say this. He will say, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is such an important verse as we try to understand how to interpret our hearts and interpret our longings and our desires, because what Jesus teaches here is actually often, or what we would think is often, the opposite of what's true. We think that what my heart loves, that's my treasure. That I follow my heart, I will give myself to what my heart already loves. That where my heart is, that's where I'll find my treasure. But Jesus also says that there's a way that our heart follows our treasure. Where your treasure is, your heart will be led there. Not where your heart is, that's where you'll find your treasure, but what you treasure, your heart will be led to that. In other words, your heart is not only something for you to listen to, it's something being led. Your heart is being pulled towards your treasure, towards what you value, towards what you give your attention, your affection, your energy, your imagination, your devotion to. So, if I give my attention and my energy constantly to comparison, my heart will be shaped by envy. If I give my attention consistently and constantly to fear, my heart will be shaped by anxiety. If I give my attention constantly to resentment, my heart will be shaped by bitterness. If I give my attention consistently to comfort, my heart may begin to reject anything that feels costly. And if I give my attention to Jesus, to his word, to his way, to his people, to his kingdom, then my heart will be formed in a different direction. So part of guarding our hearts is paying attention to what it is that we're treasuring. And when I say treasure, I don't just mean what we value, what's the most important, but what our lives actually keep returning to. Because Proverbs tells us that everything we do flows from our hearts. And if that's true, then we need to pay attention to what is flowing into the heart. What am I feeding my heart? What am I rehearsing in my heart? What am I treasuring in my heart? What am I allowing to define me? What am I letting grow inside of me? What am I returning to again and again? What are the thoughts that circle around in my head again and again and again? And what are the conversations I'm either replaying again and again and again? Or what are the conversations I'm having that I haven't had yet again and again and again? Because our hearts are always being shaped. They're being shaped by what we watch. They're being shaped by what we listen to, by what we dwell on, what we compare ourselves to, by what we fear, by what we chase, by what we avoid, by what we treasure. So the answer cannot simply be follow your heart wherever it takes you. But it also can't be just ignore your heart, because sometimes the thing inside us does need to be followed. But sometimes it needs to be questioned. Sometimes it needs to be corrected. Sometimes it needs to be surrendered. Sometimes it needs to be healed. Sometimes it needs to be brought into the light before God and trusted people. So if Scripture doesn't tell us to just ignore our hearts, and it doesn't tell us to blindly follow our hearts either, then what are we supposed to do? What does it tell us? Well, Scripture will tell us to bring our hearts before God, to let Him search them, to let Him guard them, to let Him form them. In Psalm 139, we're given amazing language to help us do this. We're given an incredible picture of a posture towards our hearts. In Psalm 139, David prays this. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This is such a different posture from follow your heart. Because follow your heart says, my heart already knows the way. But it's such a different posture than ignore your heart. Because David is looking for his heart to be shaped. Psalm 139 says, God, you know my heart better than I do. So search me, know me, test me, and lead me. This is someone saying, God, I don't want to be ruled by what's hidden inside me. I don't want to be led by fear and call it wisdom. I don't want to be led by pride and call it confidence. I don't want to be led by selfishness and call it freedom. I don't want to be led by anxiety and call it discernment. So search me, know me, and lead me. this is what we do with our hearts. We bring them honestly before God because he loves us too much to leave us to be ruled by desires that hurt us. And so the good news is that God doesn't only command us to guard our broken and flawed hearts. He doesn't call us to just, well, wherever you're at right now, just try and work with what you've got. In Ezekiel chapter 36, God speaks to his people and he says this, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and I will give to you a heart of flesh. This is the hope of the gospel. That God doesn't just stand at a distance from us and say, hey, your heart is a mess. Fix it. Instead, he comes near. He gives us grace. He forgives sin. And he heals what's wounded. He softens what has become hard. He reorders what has become disordered. He teaches us to love what is good. And he puts his spirit within us. And then Jesus begins to form in us a new heart. So, no, we don't simply follow our hearts. But we're not also told to just be hopeless about our hearts. Because Jesus can form what has been distorted. Jesus can heal what pain has wounded. Jesus can soften what disappointment has hardened. Jesus can reorder what fear has disordered. And Jesus can teach us to want what leads to life. And this is why the truth isn't follow your heart. But it's also not ignore your heart. The fuller truth here is this. Don't just follow your heart. Let Jesus form your heart. Let him search it. Let him guide it. Let him heal it. And let him form it. Because the goal is not a heart ignored. And the goal is not a heart blindly followed. The goal is a heart formed by Jesus. Three takeaways for our time together today. First, your heart matters, but your heart also needs discernment. Our decisions, our emotions, our longings, my friends, they are important. But not every feeling or impulse automatically leads us towards life or towards wisdom. Second, your heart is not only something to listen to, it's something being led. What we repeatedly give our attention to, our affection to, our devotion to, our time to, our energy to, will slowly form the direction of our hearts. And third, don't just follow your heart. Bring your heart to Jesus. The goal of our lives, of our faith, is not a heart ignored and it's not a heart blindly followed, but a heart searched, healed, guarded, and formed by Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you this morning with an acknowledgement that inside of us is complex. Inside of us, your Holy Spirit speaks to us. Inside of us, our desires and passions and giftings given to you are given to us by you. God, inside of us, God, is your spirit speaking to us? But God, also inside of us is our selfishness. Inside of us is our brokenness. Inside of us is our fear. Inside of us is our anxiety. Inside of us is our doubts. Inside of us is our worries. Inside of us is our hurts. Inside of us is our grief. Inside of us is all kinds of voices that will speak to us. And God, we long for you to speak to us. We long for you to lead us. We long for you to search us. God, we long for you to see if there be any wicked way in us. And God, we long for you to remove the voices that would pull us away from you. But yet, God, we acknowledge that it can be very difficult to tell the difference. It can be very difficult to hear your voice over mine, to hear your voice over the other voices. And so, God, I pray for us today. I pray for us in this moment. I pray for each one here. God, may we know your voice more clearly. God, your word will tell us that we as your sheep will know the shepherd's voice. God, I pray that we would know your voice more clearly in our lives right now. God, would you speak to us more clearly? Would our ears do a better job of hearing you? God, we want to be shaped by you. And so, God, we come to you and we offer you our hearts. And we say to you, God, search us. God, work in us. God, form our hearts. God, shape our hearts so that we would walk for you. And God, I pray that you would guard our hearts. God, that we would guard our hearts. God, that we would take care of our heart. God, help us to not give our time, our effort, our energy, our thoughts, our devotion to things that shape our hearts in a negative way. But God, I pray that we would give our hearts, our lives, and our souls to you. God, I thank you that you don't give up on us, that you don't walk away from us, that you don't say to us, I've had enough. But God, I thank you in the midst of our wicked, deceptive hearts, God, your offer still stands to come and give us a new heart. So God, I pray that we would receive a new heart from you. God, I thank you that you are at work in us and through us. And God, I pray that we would be continually transformed into the people you've called and created us to be. God, I thank you for the way that you love us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go,